Good morning. And welcome to Unity Church. In the spirit of welcome, I invite you to turn to your neighbor and greet one another. I love to feel all the energy in the room this morning. It's great. Please feel free to continue the conversation after the service for coffee and refreshments after church. Unity Church is committed to welcoming everyone, especially those who have been excluded due to race, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Your gifts and your wounds are welcome here. I want to extend a special welcome to all of our guests and visitors, those of you who are visiting or are here for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place that helps you to find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of integrity, service, and joy. If you'd like to learn more about Unity Church or our Unitarian Universalist faith tradition, please stop by the welcome table in the parish hall after the service. There you can sign up for our Pathway to Membership class, and including Welcome to Unity, our class for newcomers. I want to draw your attention to the blue insert in your order of worship called This Week at Unity, which serves as an invitation and a roadmap to deeper involvement in the life of the church. On Friday, June 25th at 6:30 p.m., the Unity Church Partner Church Ministry Team is hosting an evening in the night in the court of King Sigismund. This dinner benefits Project Harvest Hope, and participants will enjoy an evening of Transylvanian history, music, romance, and food. Please stop by the partner church table in the parish hall today to get more information or to purchase your tickets. Unity's Interweave Ministry Team invites you to participate in events planned in cooperation with the UUA's Standing on the Side of Love campaign, General Assembly, and Twin Cities Pride Weekend. On Saturday, June 26th, join interfaith leaders at 12 o'clock noon for worship and public witness in Loring Park. On Sunday, June 27th, everyone is invited to walk in the Twin Cities Pride Parade. Step off is at 11 o'clock a.m. More information about Pride Weekend is available at the Interweave table in the parish hall following the service today. Again, following the service, please visit the parish hall for refreshments and fellowship. There you can peruse the book stall or stop by the pastoral care table to leave a note of care for someone mentioned in the embracing meditation. Upstairs in the Elliott Wing, the Unity Libraries are open for you to explore the diverse selection of books for children and adults. And next Sunday, everyone is encouraged to join thousands of Unitarian Universalists and attend the General Assembly Sunday service at the Minneapolis Convention Center. The service begins at 9 o'clock a.m. and will be led by UUA President Peter Morales and will feature the General Assembly Choir led by our own Ruth Palmer. The 10 o'clock a.m. service here at Unity will be offered by Rob Eller Isaacs. Following the service today, Anne, Nathan, and I would love to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Once again, friends, visitors, members, welcome to Unity Church. It is a joy to be together.
The young girl looked up at her father and asked, "What does belong mean?" He thought a moment and said, "I think it means that you know you can be somewhere a long time. You can be with someone for a long time, or you can take care of something for a long time." "How will I know?" "Well, I guess it's like a lot of things. Partly, you'll just know it in your heart. And partly, you'll know that you're willing to stick with it, even when it feels like you don't want to." She knew she didn't really get it. But as she stood up and took his hand, she knew in her heart they belonged to each other and always would. Come, let us worship together.
Will you please remain standing and read responsively with me number 490 in the back of your hymnal. You do not have to be good.
You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting.
You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves.
Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine.
Meanwhile, the world goes on.
Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the leaf trees, the mountains and the rivers.
Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are headed home again.
Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things.
Thank you. You may be seated. Each time we gather for worship, we set aside a moment to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together, we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love, compassion, and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are always with those whose primary spiritual practice is caring for young children, with those who care for family members in ill health, and who themselves live with grief or addiction, mental illness, or chronic pain. Our lives are blessed by those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We remember and celebrate Father's Day for the joy, sacrifice, challenge, and responsibility of being a father and being a child. We thank you, fathers. We pray for our neighbors in prison and for those who struggle to keep going in the midst of these difficult economic times. We pray for the healing of our earth, our home, as the wound in the Gulf continues to bleed. May we learn to curb our appetites and temper our greed and that of those who cater to it. May the leaders of our world find the wisdom and abiding courage to inspire and institute positive change. And may we hold the leaders of this beloved congregation in our hearts as they imagine and plan for our future. And will you pray with me now for those I name? We mourn the death and celebrate the life of Jan Hogan, who died surrounded by loved ones on June 13th. A memorial service for Jan was held on Thursday at Unity Church. Our hearts go out to Brian Pennington and Georgie Peterson as they mourn the death of Brian's mother, Margaret Pennington, at 93 years old. A celebration of Margaret's life will be held in Des Moines, Iowa. We hold Caleb Foote in our embrace as he undergoes bone marrow treatment at Stanford. We hold Lee Carey in our circle as she cares for her declining mother. And we send our continued healing thoughts to Abby Bettinas, who is currently undergoing a bone marrow transplant as well. And our hearty congratulations go to Martha Eves, a St. Paul supervising attorney who recently received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the St. Paul Coalition for the Homeless for her longtime work on homeless issues. We send our warmest congratulations to Carrie Meyer and Jen Blecka, who are about to celebrate their marriage today at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And we send blessings and traveling mercies to our friends and colleagues in the Twin Cities and from around the globe as they travel to join in the annual gathering of Unitarian Universalists at the General Assembly, which begins this Monday in Minneapolis. Finally, may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world who so often suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and may we be instruments of a lasting and abiding peace. I now invite you to say aloud or hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names you have brought with you today that you would like to remember, memorialize, or celebrate this afternoon. Wendy Perkins. And will you join me in a moment of prayer? Spirit of life and love, God of lushness and abundance, beloved source of all existence,
We gather today nearing the summer solstice, the longest day of the year, where the gift of the sun's light is most generous and lavish. Let us revel in gratitude for all the blessings of the season. Summer is a time to celebrate love and a time to encourage and speak out for the flourishing of all life. It is a time to refresh and renew for the long journey of the seasons ahead. In the long lingering of light, may we be reminded of our ever-expanding capacity for love and freedom, throwing wide open the windows of our bold and beautiful hearts, blessing the world with our love. Amen.
Good morning. We are Janet Wacker and Louise Livesay.
Good morning.
Lissa asked us to speak about our ministerial support team. We have been working with Lissa over the last year, giving her feedback, supporting her in her work, and hearing from you about your experiences with Lissa and putting together an evaluation of her internship that is submitted to the Ministerial Fellowship Committee. Excuse me. Over this year, we have met with Lissa one-on-one and in monthly meetings as a group, been ministered to her by her, and have ministered to her. The MIST committee is made up of people from different parts of the congregation, some of whom Lissa has asked to be on the team. This group is led by Ginny Allen, and she couldn't be here today, but she sends her love to you. The other members of the team are Pam Scott, Nathan Eckstein, Harry Wernicke, and Ray Widmeyer.
It's been such a pleasure, I know, for each of the members of this team to work with Lissa this year. She is fearless in her ministry and reflection about her work. She has stretched each of us to think about how we think about ministry and helped us embrace her vision for her future. We all feel strongly that Lissa will be a leader in the Unitarian Universalist faith in her ministry, and as part of her ministry, a much needed voice for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and queer community, as both an ally and a member. To give you a sense of how she is as a minister, we want to share some highlights with you from the evaluation. It's clear from her sermons, classes, and congregant interactions that Lissa has spent a great deal of time examining her spiritual practices and religious views, and is able to be true to her beliefs and draw from a broad base of teachings.
This is a quote from a member of our committee. In New Orleans, the group of Unitarians was visiting a shelter for African American men working on drug and alcohol issues. The organization was of the conservative Baptist tradition, and the minister in his opening remarks spoke negatively of the neighborhood and the sinful nature of the homosexuals that live there. It was hard for me to hear, but I imagine it would have been even harder for someone who is gay themselves. Residents were then asked to give testimony to their struggles and their successes. And finally, the Unitarian visitors were asked if they would like to give testimony. Lissa was one of the brave souls who chose to stand and speak. She spoke eloquently of the beliefs of the Unitarian faith, not speaking directly to the subject of homosexuality, but clearly stating in her own terms the love of all people that is the cornerstone of our faith. It was clear we had different views of the world, but she was able to pull us all together under one tent. an ecumenical moment moving from fear to love.
Lissa is a standout when it comes to her professionalism around the ministerial role. She is keenly interested in the entirety of the role and does not shy away from any aspect of it, no matter how difficult or challenging. In particular, Lissa feels herself called to preach, and when in the pulpit, exhibits a natural ability and ease that translates into clear communication with her audience. Her passion is evident and her messages on point. Her growing gravitas serves her well in this role, as congregants see before them a serious young woman taking on a challenging task with maturity, dedication, and obvious talent. Her preaching and worship skills are well developed, and she holds promise to be an articulate and strong preacher as she gains more experience.
In the area of counseling, Lissa also excels. She has sought out opportunities to connect with those in need of a listening ear and spiritual guidance. She demonstrated this in her work with the elders and also with her pastoral care work. Several congregants who knew Lissa from non-counseling contexts, such as her history class, sought out pastoral care from Lissa because she projects a caring, open presence in all settings. It is clear that she takes this role as seriously as the other aspects of the job and feels called to do it.
Many have observed that she is wise for her age, an asset in a younger ministerial candidate. This wisdom makes her accessible to all ages. She is able to view people's situations for a broader perspective, listening to their concerns and helping them think about how they need to take care of themselves, grow and reflect on what they want to change about their circumstances. She is supportive of people's individual spiritual development. She has a nice balance between facilitative and directive ministry. She's received positive and constructive feedback with grace and emotional maturity, and is also able to recognize her own strengths and areas of growth.
Lissa took full advantage of the internship experience. She jumped into initiatives that pushed her to fly rather than to simply contemplate flight. She worked with our ministers on a wide spectrum of projects and also created projects that were distinctly her own, such as meditation classes and workshops and her history classes. She was also called on twice to lead Sunday services that were not on her schedule, and at least one on very short notice. In both cases, she showed her ability to work well under pressure.
The greatest attributes Lissa brings with her out of her internship experience and carries forward into the next phase of her ministry are her strong sense of who she is, her compassion for the people she encounters, her intelligence and scholarship, her strong, articulate, and passionate voice, and her orientation towards creating justice in the larger world. She demonstrates strengths and talents in virtually every area important to church life, including preaching, creating ritual, connecting deeply with congregants, and even the organizational aspects of running a church. To sum it up, she is the complete package. On behalf of the ministerial committee, we have been honored to work with you this year. We will miss your ministry and your vibrant energy here at Unity. We are thrilled with your next position at All Souls Church in New York as interim director of youth ministries, correct? Religious education. And we have faith in you as you continue to step into your future as a UU minister. Thank you for all that you've brought to us at Unity.
Hovering as we are here at the edge of idolatry, it might be wise to recognize that Lissa stands in a lineage of intern ministers who have worked with us and learned from us and carry our messages out into the world. So many students who have now begun to serve in transforming ways. The Hallman internship, named to honor Laurel Hallman, who will now stand and wave to you. Who found her call to ministry here at Unity, is one of the few endowed internships in Unitarian Universalism. Now, it's not quite completely endowed, and we could discuss that another time. But this makes it possible for us to invite an intern each year to learn from and with here at Unity Church, and I'm pleased to announce that the Hallman intern for next year, Jason Seymour from Union in New York, will be arriving with his wife Jen and their baby, who is due on Tuesday, and moving into the duplex across the parking lot. So we're just delighted with your ministry here, Lissa, which will have a lasting impact on the life of our church, and with the continuing ministry of the Hallman interns. As those of you who worship with us regularly know, the larger portion of the offering each Sunday is given to an organization with which we make common cause in the world, an organization whose values we share, and often a local organization with whom we work. Such is the case this Sunday, as the offering will be donated to Habitat for Humanity, an organization with which Unity has been in partnership for many, many years. The Green Build, coming the end of July or June? June. We already have close to 30 church members signed up to swing hammers and help with the build, and now we can help to fund it. Will the ushers please come forward? We know that when we live lives of integrity, service, and joy, generosity is sure to follow. Thank you.
A blue preacher flew toward the swamp in slow motion. On the leafy banks, an old Chinese poet, hunched in the white gown of his wings, was waiting. The water was the kind of dark silk that has silver lines shot through it when it is touched by the wind, or is splashed upward in a small, quick flower by the life beneath it. The preacher made his difficult landing, his skirts up around his knees. The poet's eyes flared, just as poet's eyes are said to do when the poet is awakened from the forest of meditation. It was summer. It was only a few moments before the sun's rising, which meant that the whole long, sweet day lay before them. They greeted each other, rumpling their gowns for an instant and then smoothing them. They entered the water, and instantly, two more herons, equally as beautiful, joined them and stood just beneath them in the black, polished water where they fished all day.
Above the mountains, the geese turn into light again, painting their black silhouettes on an open sky. Sometimes, everything has to be inscribed across the heavens so you can find the one line already written inside of you. Sometimes, it takes a great sky to find that small, bright wedge of freedom in your own heart. Sometimes, with the bones of the black sticks left when the fire has gone out, someone has written something new in the ashes of your life. You are not leaving. You are arriving.
To do some more rhythm, but with your help this time, if you would all rise in body or spirit. We're going to do a rhythm hymn. So we're going to start out all clapping a same rhythm together. And then we have four groups. We have one side and the other and the front half and the back half. And I'll go around and give each group a new rhythm to add to the mix until we have a whole rhythm experience together. So shake out your hands. That's important. If you're standing up, you might want to shake out your feet too. Take a deep breath. There are some important things to know. I'm going to give you a rhythm to play, but if you can't quite figure out how it fits in, or maybe you just don't think it's a very hip rhythm, go ahead and make up your own, because this is yours to do. The most important thing is that you listen to the sound of all of us together, because one of the incredible things that music has to teach us is that together we can sound much more impressive than the sum of our parts. Here we go. Sounds pretty good, not too fast. Now, if you want, take a step with every beat. It'll sound better. The more you move, the better it sounds. Here we go. Sounds pretty good, but you're not moving enough. Here we go. It's going to get a little harder. That's sounding pretty good. Now let's slow it down just a little bit. Take a deep breath. And the first group, you can stop clapping, take a deep breath, and be seated. Second group, you can take a deep breath, stop clapping, and be seated. Third group, take a deep breath, stop clapping, and be seated. Fourth group, take a deep breath, stop clapping, and be seated. Let's all take a deep breath together. The most important rhythm of all. Thank you. Blessed be.
Until quite recently, I can honestly say that I did not know where I belonged. No one place seemed to scream at me, "Nathan, you belong here." And until quite recently, this fact did not bother me in the least. However, in the past few months, I have prepared to say goodbye. Goodbye to school, goodbye to friends, goodbye to life as I know it now, as I transition to college. The desire to belong has appeared in my life, and with it, many transitions. Transitions await me with open arms, whether I want to embrace them or not. Transitions are scary and welcoming all at the same time. Transitions full of new possibilities and big unknowns. Yet, it is here, amidst ever-changing circumstances, I have found belonging. Now, you may be wondering where it is that a youth would find belonging amidst turmoil and change. My answer to you, curious souls, is faith. I belong to my faith. I belong to Unitarian Universalism. I belong here. My faith and I are inseparable, two peas in a pod, if you will. When my family was choosing a church, when I was in first grade, we came to Unity to check it out. After our first Sunday, I looked up to my mom and said, "This is my church." Ever since then, Unity has been my church home. Now, I don't wish to surrender my ability to control my belonging, and this fact has forced me to ponder, how do I belong when I am away from Unity? My answer is in the discovery that while I do belong to Unity, it is actually the faith tradition that this building houses that I truly belong to. I have found that I can belong to that inner place that is my faith, and I need no permanent structure to house it. I am that structure. That house is myself, my faith. My faith has assured me that each and everyone has inherent worth and dignity. They can be embraced and loved no matter who they are, gay, straight, Latino, or Caucasian. Everyone has a place in this faith. I don't have to become someone else to belong. I can belong just as I am. As General Assembly approaches, I am excited to mingle with others who feel a sense of belonging to this faith we call Unitarian Universalism. I want to discover. I want to relate. But when it comes down to the bare bones of it all, I can affirm I do belong.
Nathan and I have come to this religious community on different paths. Nathan was raised in this church. I have chosen it as an adult. I was raised in a devout but not overly pious Catholic family. I am the daughter of a man nicknamed Monk, so named by his fraternity brothers for his religious constancy. My mother, Jean, no less devout, belonged to her faith through service and a strong interest in Catholic theology. My sisters and I share the middle name Mary, and my brother's is Joseph. I attended Catholic school for 11 years. I am comfortable enough sometimes belonging to the club of cultural Catholics, but I have never felt a sense of belonging to it as the expression of my faith. For me, coming to this faith has been all about the choice to belong or not. It is both surprising and not that it was my father who guided me that I had a choice. I was born the second youngest of five, and I was the baby until my sister came along when I was 5 years old. I often teased her about knocking me off the baby of the family pedestal. In truth, her birth gave me two great gifts, she herself and the memory of treasured exchanges with my father. On many summer evenings after she was born, I would wait for him on the front steps. He would join me and we would set off on a walk, holding hands, counting stars. I was his charge as my mother put Pat to bed, and he turned duty into magic. In those moments, we belonged only to each other. Years later, when I was Nathan's age, I did not leave home with a commitment to my faith. I know that was a source of concern for him, but in that first year, the memory of those walks would create a pathway to forgiveness, a new tender understanding of one another, and ultimately resolution of my faith choice. We had a terrible argument on one of my first weekends home. My father questioned the morality of my choices. I was outraged, as only an outspoken 18-year-old daughter can be. And I wrote to tell him just how much as soon as I got back to my campus apartment. I recalled all of the rituals we had shared during my childhood, including our walks, and wrote of how much his questioning hurt. I am certain from his response that he had not been prepared for mine. It took him 2 months to write back. But when he did, he too referenced our walks and gave me his lasting gift as he wrote, "The walks around the block are well remembered. I still get a great deal of pleasure from a stargazing stroll. Do you? I've always held the heavens in awe, partly because of the science associated with them, but mostly because of a strong faith. Faith can be the greatest comfort in your life. No one can take it away from you. Be sure you don't let it go by choice." My father was right. And though I did choose a different religious expression, I have inherited his strong faith in God and in the world. I have made my choice. I came to Unity at first because it was not the Catholic Church. I'm so glad I'm not alone. Over time, I have come to know in my heart that I can be here a long time. I can be with all of you a long time, and I can imagine taking care of our faith for a long time. I know I am willing to stick with it, even when it feels like I don't want to. I am proud of Nathan, and proud to be part of a congregation that nurtures the kind of faith awareness he has at his age. I am inspired by Lissa and how she knows in her heart she belongs to her calling and by all the ways she has worked to create that for others here. They leave with a deep sense of belonging to this place and to its people. I remain here with the same.
the peace of this beautiful morning. After hearing words from Nathan and Anne, I invite you into a moment of reflection. Look back into your memory, into your earliest experience of what you might now call spirituality, faith. Did that happen for you in a house of worship? Did that happen in nature, in music, or in art? What did it feel like? Who, if anyone, was there with you? And who did you tell about it? Who listened to you? Thinking back on her first memories of spiritual experience, Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "When I think of my first cathedral, I am back in a field behind my parents' house in Kansas with every stalk of prairie grass lit up from within. I can hear the entire community of crows, grasshoppers, and tree frogs who belong to this field with me. When I was 7, she writes, I went to church for the first time, and I got that same feeling of being held that I knew from that field. I furthermore got the impression, she writes, that the people who were there that morning had figured out a way of talking about that feeling. As a child, I too felt those spiritual feelings, Taylor describes. Beauty, awe, belonging, vastness, love, and peace. I felt those feelings in nature first, and later in community. I was born just after the summer solstice and loved being outside as a child. I can remember the long days of sparkling light on the lake of my great-grandparents' summer home in rural Maine. The ecstasy of getting lost in the low, scratchy bushes of the blueberry fields, picking berries for hours without fatigue, only joy. I remember the peace of walking lightly in the conservation land by my childhood home in Massachusetts, quieting myself enough to belong with a family of herons fishing quietly in the wetlands. Like Nathan, my parents have told me stories about how I encouraged their search for a religious home. My earliest childhood years were spent in the South, attending religious preschool and kindergarten, and a natural curiosity developed within me about the felt board Bible stories, the music, and the cool stone buildings with stained glass. I loved ritual, and I wanted to know more. I wanted a community of people to be with in that knowing. When we moved to the Northeast with inspiration from a brilliant great aunt, my family found the Unitarian Universalist Church. First Parish Unitarian Church in Concord became my second home in my teens. But during my young adult years, I struggled to find a church home that held those same feelings of belonging and connection that I longed for and I had felt as a youth. I thought that frustration was about not belonging to the church as a young person, often such a difficult time to stay connected. But when I began seminary, I started to learn about a new way to belong in religious community. I can recall years ago when my high school youth advisor and ministry mentor, the Reverend Sarah Asher, spoke about her joy in discerning belonging as clergy from lay member. For Sarah, spiritual nourishment was found in worship leading and in her day-to-day work as a parish minister in a way she had never experienced in the pews. Though I longed to be in a ministry relationship with a congregation, I still had my doubts
about whether I would find my calling to the parish ministry. I am an activist by training and experience and wondered if I belonged out in the community, not in the church. I wonder whether I would experience that same kind of belonging of which my mentors spoke so lovingly. When I came to Unity as your intern minister, I still had questions. Would the work be right for me? Would I be right for the work? Would I be accepted as one of your ministers? In my internship at Unity Church, my experience of this dimension of belonging in ministry has been startling. At Unity, I have a deep sense that I have come home to serving in parish ministry. Writer and preacher Frederick Buechner writes, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I am only beginning to find and understand the depth of this calling. I have grown into myself as minister with the help of my beloved mentors, Jan and Rob Eller Isaacs, with my ministerial support team members, and all of you, my wise, wise friends and teachers who have helped me and shared your lives with me. Hallman ministerial intern Mother Hen, Mary Anderson, speaks about the feelings of honor, humility, and even unworthiness that sometimes accompany that blessing to be invited in to witness people's lives. The first time we met, Mary said to me, know that you are always enough and that you are never enough. I am deeply humbled. Beyond gratitude, feeling the challenge of finding enough words to say thank you. Recently, when I tried to express this to my mentor and friend, Sarah Barbara Brown, she said to me, someday, Lissa, you'll learn that that's love. With your help and with constant spiritual discernment, I am learning. My heart breaks open again and again with radiant love. I am teacher and learner, minister and ministered too. Leaving and arriving at once. I belong to you all, and I am deeply glad. Amen.
You go, girl!
Thank you.
In this season of warmth and light, open wide the windows of your bold and beautiful hearts. Let your light shine and bless the world with your love. Go in peace. Amen.
Don't you bring me down.